Did it just get hot in here? She's a hot mess. A hot, hot mess podcast.
Hello, degenerates, and welcome back to yet another episode of a hot, hot mess podcast. My name is Haley, and as always, I am a hot fucking mess. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to take last week off. I will tell you exactly what happened. The life of a hot mess is not a quiet one. It's not an easy one. I went through some shit last week by my own doing, not even gonna lie. So we're gonna get into that. But I just wanted to come on here and say thank you guys so much for allowing me to take a week off. It is very much needed. If I was a smart and professional podcaster, I would pre-record episodes so I had something to continue to upload even when I need to take a break. But I don't claim to be smart or professional on here, so maybe I'll start doing that in the future. But thank you so much for allowing me to take that week off. I really fucking needed it. So let's get into this week's episode. I have a couple things that I want to talk about. I'm going to tell you all the dirty details of my hot mess life that have happened in the last week. I also want to talk about dating apps and some red flags to look out for, since I am now once again back on the market looking at some dating apps. I want to talk about that. I have got my little drinky drink. Tonight we're drinking a Truly with some lemon wedges. Truly has really been my go-to drink. It gets me just drunk enough so I'm happy, but not so drunk that I'm wanting to either fight someone or throwing up in the parking lot later. So I've been really digging on some Truly. An unpopular opinion, I think that Truly is better than White Claw. Fight me. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. So last week was my birthday. I turned a whopping 26 years old. Now, I know that we have briefly discussed my hot mess ex-husband. When I started this podcast, I wouldn't say I was in the middle of a breakup, but I was definitely dealing with some shit. And as time has gone on, I've gotten a hell of a lot better. But I didn't want to start a podcast to shit on anyone. However, that changed last week. I don't want to come on this podcast and just tear someone down for no fucking reason. And I sure as hell don't want to ruin anyone's life. Kind of. But I learned a huge lesson, and that's what I want to talk about. And in order to pass my hot mess knowledge on to you, I'm going to have to shit on someone. So let me run you through a little bit of a backstory and what has happened. As you all know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, me and my hot mess ex-husband, we broke up in the end of March of last year. So we have been separated for coming up on a year. Right after we split, I moved out to Seattle. He moved out to a different house with all of his roommates, and that didn't work out for me. Seattle did not work out, and so I moved back into his home where I stayed for a couple months, and then I now have my house where I am now. During that time, him and I continued to talk, and because I have an anxious attachment style, I did not gracefully handle this breakup. We talked about it a little bit. But I really was that stage 5 fucking clinger. I really was that like quintessential psycho ex-wife. And I own that. I take full responsibility for that. And I made my mistakes. I have learned from them, especially since being in my house, being away from that entire situation, and being away from my hot mess ex-husband, really being able to focus on myself. I've been able to make a lot of improvements just with who I am, emotionally, physically, blah, blah, blah. So we tried to be friends as much as we could. It was still really difficult for me. He is not an emotional person. He has an avoidant attachment style, so he really didn't show that he was hurting at all, which of course hurt me even more. I decided to have no contact. I was listening to this person on YouTube, I'm not going to say any names, but they were a certified dating coach or breakup coach or whatever you want to call him. And he had mentioned something called no contact, which I thought I would really benefit from, and I did. So I went no contact, and that lasted for, I want to say, about a month or two. And when I mean no contact, I mean I blocked my ex-husband on everything. I blocked him on Facebook, Instagram, obviously texting and phone calls. I blocked him on my phone. I even went as far as to remove his family. So any third party type of situation, I also removed them, which sucks because I was really close with his family, especially his sister. So that was really painful to do, but I knew I needed to do it for my healing process. So I made the decision to do that, and I did, and it was great. I was grieving. I was talking to my therapist. I was doing really, really well. Out of the blue, my hot mess ex-husband emailed me. That was the only way that he could get a hold of me, and he says, "Let's talk. I've been doing some thinking. Let's get together and talk." All right, no problem. He comes over. This was around September-ish. He comes over. We're talking. And he tells me, "I think I made a mistake by not fighting for our marriage. I want to continue to fight and I want to work things out." At that time, I was ecstatic. I was so fucking happy. I was on cloud nine. I was gonna get my marriage back, whatever. Well, that lasted about 12 hours. You see, he had been sleeping with someone else, which I know that I have talked about this person briefly on the podcast. This was someone who was, I'll just say, a part of our friend circle, our acquaintance circle, and he decided to sleep with her. So I told him, "You're going to have to cut things off. Obviously, you're trying to work on your marriage. You need to not be talking to the person that you have been sleeping with for a few months." He agreed, and he had already had plans with not just her, but their entire friend group to do like an escape room the following day. And so I knew that he was going to be leaving. And then he said that he would talk to her. He would pull her aside and they would go to lunch and then he would talk to her and he would break things off. Awesome. Perfect. He said he was going to be back at my house around like 2-ish. I did not hear shit. I know that I briefly talked about this story, so I'll just kind of run through it. Basically, I didn't hear shit from him until like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I finally get a hold of him and he is like, "I can't. I can't work on our relationship. I can't work on our marriage. I don't want to be with you. I think I was just afraid of being alone, blah, 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 blah." Needless to say, I was fucking devastated. It brought back all of those emotions, all of that heartbreak that I had been dealing with. I mean, I've been with this person for 6 years. I've been with him since I was 19. He is really all I fucking knew. And so when he broke up with me again, I was absolutely devastated, and the anxious attachment style came right back up. I mean, the begging, the pleading, the "come over, let's talk, blah, 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 blah." So he came over that night and he is like, "I made a mistake. Once again, like, I do want to work on this. I want to be with you, this and that." Well, a couple days later, and he does the same thing. He walks away. He's like, "I can't do this. I need to be alone." He continues to sleep with the other woman that he had been sleeping with. Looking back on it now, I don't think that they ever ended their relationship. I think that he slept with her that day that he went to go break things off, but that's neither here nor there. Long story short, I went back into no contact with him, and I would do this multiple times. He would come back, he would ask for another chance. It would last maybe 2 or 3 days. And then he would leave again. He would say he didn't want to do this. He wanted to be alone. And every time it crushed me less and less and less. So now that we have some of that backstory, that leads me to what happened this week. My ex-husband and I have been trying to be friends for maybe about a month or so, maybe a little more than a month. We've been back in each other's lives just being friends. We would just check in on each other, normal friendship. Well, I had received a text message from him when he had gone back home to visit saying, "Hey, I need to talk to you when you come back." I already knew what he was going to ask me. I knew that we were back in that same routine. I already had it planned and prepared in my head. I talked to my best friend about it. We came up with a game plan, and I knew that I was going to tell him, "Fuck no, we are not getting back together." On my birthday, he shows up. He takes me out to get a massage. We go get food. It was a wonderful day. We come back home, we start drinking, we're playing board games and card games. And he asks me to not only get back together, but to move back to Arizona, where we had moved from, because there was a death in the family and he needed to be there for his family, which I completely respect, completely understand. But he was asking me a really huge fucking request. I never enjoyed living in Arizona. There are beautiful parts of the state, but I like the green, I like the rain, I like the ocean. So I never was really happy in Arizona. So for him to not only ask for another chance in our relationship, which is heavy enough as is, I mean, to fix a fucking, at this point, it wasn't even a broken marriage. It was just completely in shambles. There's so much resentment, so many emotions that we would have to work through. But on top of that, to go back and be supporting family, that's heavy enough on its own. And then you add on top of that to go back to a state that I don't like was just a lot to think about. It was a lot to handle. And so I decided that I was going to call my job, which, as you guys know, I've been laid off of since the beginning of December. I was going to call my job and get an ETA of when I was going to be able to go back to work. And I let him know, depending on the answer of that, I will either go back or not. So I call my job the next Monday and they let me know basically that I had been let go entirely without so many words. They hired someone else part-time to fill my position and I basically wouldn't be able to go back until June, which I can't do that. My unemployment benefits are not going to extend that long. And I mean, June is a long time away. So basically, without so many words, I had been already essentially let go. I had been fired. So right then and there, I made the decision, well, I don't have anything else here. I don't have that many friends. I now don't have a job, which means I'm not going to be able to pay for my house. So sure, fuck it. I'll go back and we can work on our relationship. So we're ironing out things. And the whole time I'm asking him, because we've been on the same routine for the better part of a year, are you sure? Do you understand everything that you are piling on to yourself by asking me to go with you? Like, we're talking therapy, we're talking nightly check-ins with each other. Like, there's no running off. I mean, if we're doing this, we're doing this. And every day he's like, yes, absolutely. I'm 100% positive. I know this is what I want, blah, 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 blah. I packed up all of my shit. I essentially was almost completely done packing up my entire house. I had notified my landlord that I was going to be moving out of state. I had turned down a couple job offers that I had already been given, or at least interviews that I had been given in Washington. And I was ready to go. I was gonna pick my life up and follow this man to a state I fucking hate, all for the sanctity of marriage. I was going to put myself in a position that I knew I wasn't going to be happy in, all for the sanctity of fixing my fucking marriage. I had called my job and my landlord on Monday. Fast forward to Thursday of last week. And the plan was for my ex-husband to come over to my house. We were going to start packing up my stuff, have a good night together. And 8 o'clock rolls around. He was supposed to be here hours ago. I knew where this was going. He gives me a call and he does the same shit that he had been doing for a year. Calls me and he says, I can't do this. I've been thinking about it and I just don't think that this is what I want. I don't want this relationship. I don't want this marriage. You've been able to be on your own and date and all of this, and I haven't. And I just think that I really need to be on my own. So I'm sitting here in a house that is completely packed up, no job. My landlord thinks that I'm moving out in about a week. And now he's telling me that not only am I going to have to deal with his rejection again for the fucking millionth time, but I'm also basically up shit creek without a paddle. And he is leaving me high and fucking dry. And he tells me, I think when I get to Arizona, I just need a little bit of space. So now he's the one who wants to go no contact. My response was, space? You need space? Oh, sweetheart, you can have all the fucking space you want. If you do this, if this is a decision that you make, you will never hear from me again. That will be it. So basically, from Thursday night to Monday today, I have been scrambling to put my fucking life back together. I called my landlord and let her know I wasn't going to be moving. I contacted all the places I had turned down for interviews or job offers, whatever. Called all of them, spoke to them. None of the people who offered me a job were willing to offer me a job now. But I had a couple interviews, so I reset those up and I unpacked all of my boxes. So this is why I wasn't able to upload anything last Tuesday. Now, I want to get into the lessons that I have learned from this experience. I don't tell you the things that go on in my life for no reason. I'm not out here to be the victim or anything like that. I want to tell you what I fucking learned because I know that I am not the first person to have to go through this. I know I'm not the last person who's gonna have to go through this because we're all just a bunch of hot messes who wanna be fucking loved. Here's what I have learned. Now, through my entire breakup, I have been rationalizing my ex-husband's behavior in my head, things that fit my understanding or how I would feel to try to make it make sense. Have you ever looked at someone? I know I do this to myself all the fucking time, but have you ever looked at someone doing something or someone who hurt you and you're like, what the fuck is going on in your head? Like, you genuinely cannot wrap your head around some of the shit that people do. That's how I felt for a long time with this individual, and especially the last year that we have been on and off and on and off and whatever. So for the past year of him coming in and leaving and coming in and leaving and having sex with other people while we're technically together and breaking my heart and whatever, I've been looking at him and trying to rationalize what he's been doing. And I was trying to tell myself, oh, he's scared, he can't commit, he doesn't want to be hurt again, he's afraid of being alone, because I could never do that to someone. And it's so important for us, I think, when we're going through a breakup, especially when the other person is doing the really shitty behavior, it's so important for us to rationalize because we're trying to still see the good. We can accept that someone is a fucked up person, that someone needs help, but it is really hard for us, I think, especially more empathetic people like me, to wrap our head around someone who is just, for lack of a better term, a piece of shit. I can understand someone who has toxic tendencies or doesn't make the best decisions, but they're a good person at heart. That's me, bitch. Like, I don't do the right shit all the time. Clearly, I accepted somebody back into my life who doesn't deserve a fucking sideways glance. I have made a lot of mistakes in my life, and we talk about that openly. That's the great thing about my podcast, is I don't hide the fact that I make fucking mistakes and I mess up. But at the core of who I am, I'm a really good person. And so it's really hard to rationalize when I see someone who not only is continuously making the same fucked up decisions, but then has no emotion, who has no remorse or empathy for what I'm going through, has no remorse for what they're doing. So the only thing that I can do is try as hard as humanly possible to rationalize what they're doing in a way that makes sense to me. And I had done that the entire breakup. So now, with this last go around, what I learned from this after sitting with the emotion, sitting with the heartaches, sitting with the disappointment, is the person that I thought I had been married to for 6, 7 years is not the person that I had actually been married to. The hot mess ex-husband who was kind and caring and funny essentially didn't exist because my ex-husband is a narcissist. And narcissism is something that I have done a lot of research on. It is something that I continue to look into. I talk to my therapist about it. It's something that I'm really passionate about giving education. And once again, as always, disclaimer, I am not a mental health professional. I did not go to college. I am still fighting my way tooth and nail in this crazy fucking world. But I do have a lot of education on narcissists. I have been around narcissists majority of my life. I married a fucking narcissist. A lot of his family are narcissists. So I have a lot of experience with narcissists. So something to wrap your head around, and I know that it's really difficult and I still struggle with it too, is a narcissist shows you something that they are not. So my ex-husband was always really funny and caring and really just doted on me. And that's not who he is to a core. He was doing those things to get what he wanted. Another thing to remember about narcissists, the number one thing that they care about on this entire planet, it's not friends, it's not family, it's not any of that. It's their fucking reputation. That is the number one thing that a narcissist will do anything to protect, is how other people view them and their reputation. And I like to kind of categorize it in two different ways. You can have a savior narcissist or a victim narcissist. And a lot of the times you can find both of that in one person. And these do kind of go hand in hand, but I'll kind of get into that. I have family who are more on the victim narcissist. Anything that happens in the world happens to them. They constantly have to be the center of attention, or there's always something wrong with them. Those are more of the victim narcissists. My ex-husband was the savior narcissist. And by that, I mean, he met me when I was going through a really hard time in life. I was 19. I had just lost my job. I was going through an eviction on my apartment. I had a shitty little car and nowhere to turn. So he found me and leached on to me in order to save me. So by doing that, he automatically had the in with my family. Everyone in my life viewed him as this amazing person. I viewed him as an amazing person. And so any little thing that happened in our marriage that was not good was automatically turned into my fault. Oh, we're fighting. Oh, it's my fault. Oh, he's unhappy. It's my fault. And on top of that, the things that I would do wrong, because I'm not going to sit here and say that I've done no wrong in my relationship, in my marriage, in my life. We all know I fuck up. We all know that I'm a hot mess. I don't know what the hell I'm doing in life. But when you have a savior narcissist and they make themselves seem so amazing, and the one thing that you do wrong, or the multiple things that you do wrong, becomes magnified because they are such an amazing, smart, funny savior person, that how dare you take this person for granted by making a mistake? When you're in a relationship with someone like that, there are no mistakes. You cannot make a mistake. Now, my ex-husband, in my opinion, was the most dangerous type of narcissist. Not only was he a savior, but he was really fucking good at what he does. He is really good at playing this role, because I didn't even know that I was being manipulated behind the scenes. I didn't even know what to call it, really. I mean, obviously I was ignorant. I didn't have therapists that I talked to like I do now, and I was fucking 19. So I didn't know everything that was going on. And one of his favorite things to do is called stonewalling, where we would be upset about something small. You know, it could be the dishes or money or, you know, whatever. And instead of talking about it and working things out, he would completely shut down and block me out of essentially him, his thought process, his emotions. And I was left to fix this situation completely by myself. And then the guilt would set in, because it's like, well, am I asking too much? I mean, this person saved me. I wouldn't have anything without him. So I need to do what I can do to keep him, because he's the best I'm ever going to get, which is complete and utter fucking bullshit. You cannot look at someone and say, this is the best I'm ever going to get. There are millions of people on this planet, and by default, you have thousands of people who are just as, if not more, compatible as the person you're currently with. And I can guarantee you that there's a few thousand that'll treat you better than this fucking shithead. But this is what narcissists do. They twist your perception of yourself. They twist everyone else's perception of you. Like, when I was in my marriage, I thought I was the biggest piece of shit. I thought that I was selfish, which I can be sometimes, don't get me wrong. But I mean, like, on an exponential level, I thought that I was selfish. I thought that I was taking everything that he had done for granted. I did not have a very high self-esteem. I just really, really thought very low of myself. And then that amplified when I would make a mistake, just in life or in my marriage or whatever. So it was really, really rough. And because he was so good at it, with the stonewalling and the manipulation, one of his favorite things that he would say to me is, "You're being overdramatic. Oh, you're being so sensitive. Bitch, don't ever fucking tell me I'm being overdramatic. Your actions give me this response, and therefore my response is warranted. Don't ever tell me how I should or can feel. If I am upset, it's probably for a reason." But oftentimes I would find myself, after an argument, going back and apologizing for being upset and having emotion, because he would tell me all the time, over and over, "You're being too sensitive. You're blowing this out of proportion. You're blah, 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 blah." Look, if someone ever tells you that you are being overdramatic or that you are too sensitive, fucking cut and run. I don't care if that person is someone you have been with for 10 years. If it is your mother, your father, your sister, your best friend who was in the birthing room when you gave birth to your child, I don't give a fuck. If someone ever looks at you after you have clearly and concisely expressed your emotions about whatever situation you're in, that you're unhappy or whatever it is, and they tell you that you are being too sensitive or you're being over emotional, get the fuck out. You're done. There's no excuse for that. You clearly either, one, lack the ability to have a conversation, or you lack accountability. And those are just things that we don't fucking want in our lives. No, I'm not being too sensitive. No, I'm not being overdramatic. If I am crying, I'm allowed to fucking cry. And you need to change your behavior, or we need to come to some understanding about why I'm upset. So that was one of his favorite things to do all the time. There are a lot of other things that I realized, and I'm not a therapist, so I can't really explain everything like my therapist can. But let me just give you some red flags. And if you're in a relationship and you suspect that they're a narcissist or that they're manipulative, just brace yourself. Because personally, I think that if you hear any of these or if you witness any of this, you should not be in that fucking relationship. So just a little warning. Your partner may do some of these things, and that might get you thinking. So we've already talked about stonewalling, where you're in an argument or you have something you need to discuss, and your partner completely not just shuts down, but shuts you out entirely. I do know people who do that. It's hard for them. I mean, I've done that before. If I get too upset, I will walk away. The difference between stonewalling is it can be for any little thing. I mean, the dishes, and it normally extends to a ridiculous time frame. I would be upset over the dishes, and him and I wouldn't speak for 3 days, or he'd be sleeping on the couch for 3 days. It was just an exuberant amount of time. If your partner cannot tell you effectively that they can't talk about this right now, that they're getting upset, or they're shutting down, because those are, in my opinion, normal responses to conflict. But if your partner seems to be shutting down and they cannot communicate that with you, I don't want it. Because when I'm upset and I start to feel myself get like real fucking mad to where I'm gonna be the wrong one to talk to in a minute, I tell my partner, "Hey, I'm getting really upset and I don't think that this is gonna be beneficial. So let me just go in the other room and pop in the other room, take a little breather, you know, write in my journal, do what I gotta do, and I'll come back, you know, I'll think about what I need to say, and then I'll come back and we can communicate." If they don't have the ability to do that, I mean, for me personally, I couldn't be with someone who can't communicate like that. So maybe you're a little different. Maybe you can help your partner through that. I personally can't. And if you're seeing the stonewalling, then they're either a narcissist or they have narcissistic tendencies, which can be just as challenging. So if they don't talk to you for 3 days over a tiny fucking argument, that's stonewalling. If you are sitting there crying and you're upset, let's say it's a bigger argument, something more serious, and they have zero emotion, that's a sign of stonewalling. That is a really big red flag of a narcissist. Another red flag that we talked about is if someone is saying that you're too sensitive or you're being overdramatic. I refuse to be with anyone. I refuse to even speak to anyone who tells me that I'm being too sensitive or overdramatic because you're not taking accountability. And that's a form of manipulation, and fuck all that. Also, if your partner gets ridiculously upset about you talking to your friends and family about issues that you guys have, now if you go to your friends and family and you're just completely shitting on them, that is also a form of manipulation to tarnish somebody else's reputation for whatever reason. And if you do it constantly over every little thing and you're blowing it out of proportion, then yes, your partner has a right to be upset with you. But if they get upset that you go to your family because you got into a little argument about the dishes, then they're trying to protect their reputation. And that is also another sign of being a narcissist. If they care more about the fact that your family now views them a little different or maybe knows a little more information about them than how you were feeling or the fact that you needed in that moment to speak to someone, then they don't really care about you and your emotions. They care more about their reputation, and that is a huge red flag for narcissists. Also, if your partner laughs at you, I know that this kind of goes without saying, but now that I'm talking about it, I remember an ex, not this last one, but a while back, when I would get really upset and I would yell or raise my voice or cry, they would laugh at me in my fucking face. Like, I would be so upset and they would be like, oh my God, Haley, calm down. Like, oh, bitch, I'm surprised I've only been to jail once. Like, that person just deserved to get the ever-living shit beaten out of them. But obviously, things like that, that's manipulation. That's fucked up. No one deserves that. So what I've learned from this entire experience, and I guess the things that I struggle with, I guess, is coming to terms with the fact that the person that I thought was my husband for 6 or 7 years never existed, never even graced the planet Earth. That has been really hard to grasp, the fact that the person that I have loved for what feels like a long time to a 26-year-old never existed. I also have to come to terms with the manipulation and the fact that I was manipulated for so long. I think that that is a really hard pill to swallow. And something that I have realized, because let's go back to the whole rationalizing thing. I tried to rationalize why he was doing what he was doing. And it wasn't until this past weekend that I realized why he did what he did, why he continued to leave and come back and continue to sleep with other people when we were technically together and whatever, make all these false promises. The reason is because he showed his true colors during the breakup. He was malicious. He was vindictive. He was fucking brutal and cutthroat emotionally. And there was no hiding that anymore. It forced him to show who he truly fucking is. That tarnished his reputation and the way other people viewed him. It wasn't me running around slandering him. I mean, I have a podcast. If I wanted to, I could talk complete shit about him, tell you guys his real fucking name, like I could go into some serious detail about our relationship, and this barely brushes the fucking surface. But it wasn't ever my goal to ruin his reputation. I didn't run around talking shit about him, but people saw what he was doing. His sister would call me and I would tell her things that were happening, and she would talk to him, and it just, you know, and then his roommate saw some things, and it was really hard to hide his actions and his true colors. And that did not sit right with him because his reputation means more than anything. So when he would come back, I think the first time he came back, he was just lonely. And then he realized very quickly that he doesn't want to be together. And so he left again. He crushed me again. Every time that he came back after that, I, to my core, believe that he was coming back because he wanted me to tell him to go fuck himself. And here's why. Because if I did that, then he, in his fucked up, twisted little head, could throw his hands up and say, oh, I did everything I could. I tried as hard as I could. I went back and I begged her. He never begged. Let me just say that. But I went back and I asked her and I begged her and blah, 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 blah. I did everything that I could do. And that somehow to him justified what he had done to me. He could walk away still being the savior, the victim, the one who was wronged in all of this. The only reason that he ever came back was because of his reputation. That is something that I am going to struggle with for a long time, because I could not do that to someone. I cannot wrap my head around how you could come back and boost somebody's hopes, you know, get their hopes up for your fucking reputation. Who cares about your reputation? My reputation ain't shit. I got a podcast where I talk about sex and buttholes and narcissists, and I mean, fucking my coworkers, my ex-coworkers listen to it. Like, who cares about your fucking reputation? What matters is how you're treating other people. I can't fathom being like that. And that is honestly the number one thing that I struggle with within this entire breakup. I also know that that has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with what kind of a partner I was or wasn't, or how I handled the breakup, or who I am as a person. It has fucking nothing to do with me. If you find yourself in a situation where you have an ex or a partner who comes in and out, and they can commit, oh no, they can't, whatever, chances are that's what it is. Also, if you have an ex who says, let's still be friends, tell them no. Tell them to go fuck themselves. I have just spent a year on and off trying to be friends with my ex, and I was so proud. Oh yeah, me and my ex are best friends. No, we're fucking not. No, we are absolutely not. If your ex and you didn't work out, there's a fundamental issue between you, and I don't know why the fuck you would want to keep a friend around like that. So no, you should not be friends with your ex. I learned that the hard way. Learn from my fucking mistakes. This is what I have learned through my entire breakup. And it's going to take some time, as any breakup, to come to terms with what happened. I just have to remind myself, and if you find yourself in this situation, you have to remind yourself that they were broken before they met you. You did not break them. You did not deserve the treatment that you got, especially if you were dating a narcissist. You did not deserve the treatment that you got, and it had nothing to do with you. You deserve love. You deserve happiness. And you do not owe that person anything. If you dropped off the face of the planet tomorrow, you would not owe them a fucking explanation. Like, that's it. We're done. He'll never see me again. He will never speak to me again. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should have been a year ago. And I would have saved myself a shit ton of heartbreak, but I'm the kind of bitch that needs to learn a lesson a million times before it actually sinks in, apparently. I mean, I'm just glutton for punishment, glutton for fucking heartbreak, so that is super fun. I know that I said I was going to talk about dating apps and red flags and things like that. I did not mean to get off on this tangent tonight. I am already buzzing, and apparently this is what I wanted to fucking talk about. So I hope that you learned something. I think what I'm going to do to make up for last week is I'm actually going to post two episodes. So I will either post both of them on Tuesday, or one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, just depending on how fast I can get it edited. So you guys are going to have a twofer, just to say thank you for giving me a little bit of space and patience. And also because I do want to talk about dating apps, and some people don't find this topic interesting. Some people don't want to talk about narcissists or my breakup and what I've learned and all of those fun things. And I totally respect that. I completely understand. So I am going to be uploading a second episode. I will try to make it just as long as this one. We will see. That was my narcissist ex-husband story. I hope that you guys really learned something. If you have any questions, you can always ask me. Once again, I'm not a professional, so I do recommend seeking professional help. I know that therapists get a really bad rap, but like, a lot of them are fucking sick, rad as shit therapists. So If you have any questions or if you feel like you're dealing with a narcissist, I highly recommend reaching out to a therapist. Be careful. All I will say is be careful with the therapist on YouTube. That is where I found the therapist I was talking to in the beginning of my breakup. I think I'm going to do a story time on him too, because he just really fucked me up, like rocked my shit. I think I'll talk about him. Just be careful YouTubing stuff. Some people, they may be professionals, they may not be. You can really say anything on YouTube. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to end this episode. Thank you guys, as always, for listening in, learning some shit, letting me be a fucking hot mess without judgment. If you do not follow me on Instagram, make sure you head over there, give me a follow. Comment on some shit, interact with me. You can always message me on there. I have had some really, really great suggestions from some of you guys. You can always stay up to date on my content. I didn't post anything last week, as we know, but I'll get my ass back on that. So you can always message me, stay up to date with some stuff. I do my hot mess moment of the week, which has been really fun. So make sure you head on over there. Follow me. It is a_hot_hotmess_ podcast. I will also leave it in the description box below. So yeah, that is the end of my episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you next Tuesday. Bye, bitches.